Thank you, Deaconess Tuan, for those kind words. I say both of us must confess our sins this morning, myself and Deaconess Tuan, because what she said about me is not true. And I also sinned because I choose to believe what she said was true. A very good morning to all of you. I'm glad to be back to speak the word of God to you. And it's my joy to stand on a familiar platform. And also it's my privilege and honor to share the word of God with you. Now, time is running out, and without further ado, we're going to plunge into the message this morning. And the title given me this morning is Faithfulness of the People of God. Thank you, AV guys. Now, printed in your bulletin is the outline for this morning's sermon. You may choose to follow along. The faithfulness of the people of God, taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Congrats to New Life Baptist Church. This is your 40th anniversary. And when we celebrate anniversary basically is about celebration. And celebration is about rejoicing. And this is what we are doing this morning. We rejoice. And the reason for our rejoicing is this. It is commemoration, remembrance. We remember what God had done in our midst, and therefore when we rejoice this morning, we are thinking and reflecting on what God had done in our individual lives and also the corporate life of New Life Baptist Church. And anniversary, it is also about challenge. It's a reminder to all of us that the work, even though you've seen through the slides this morning, the tremendous work God has placed upon our shoulders and the amount of resources and manpower they've put in to accomplish the work of God, it is still not done. We are still, there's still a lot of work for New Life to look into and also to expand her wings. And therefore, it is a reminder for us at the same time as we rejoice, as we remember God's goodness, we are reminded that in celebrating the 40th anniversary of the church, the challenge is still there. Now, shall we all stand to read God's word? Oh, dear. I think it's reversing, right? Oh, no. Oh, here is okay, but the other side is... Oh, it's a mirror image. But this mirror image is upside down. Okay, shall we all read together? Ready? One, two, go. Continue. So you've been given a trust, must prove faithful. Now, from this, please be seated. From these two passages here, I want us to take note of great is your faithfulness, the first phrase. And when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, and I want us to concentrate on the phrase, must prove faithful. Okay, let's plunge into it. We are celebrating the 40th anniversary. And 40 is a significant number in the Bible. And I'll run through with us very quickly the significance. Firstly, you know the first three kings of Israel, King Saul, King David, and then King Solomon. King Saul was the first king. King David was a godly king. And King Solomon was a wise king. And he says to us here, firstly, okay. Bear with the PowerPoint slides. Okay. They each rule Israel for 40 years. Now, firstly, the first king, King Saul, Prior to this time, Israel was under theocracy, meaning God reigned over the nation. But when the Israelites saw the neighboring nations, they have kings, and therefore they ask for a king. And Acts 13:21 said this to us, records this for us. Then the people asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, king of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. And then next, they have this in Hebron, and 33 in Jerusalem. And then we have the wise king, King Solomon, recorded for us 1 Kings 11:42, that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And then next we see Moses. You know, the life of Moses basically was divided into a 3 40-year periods. He was in the palace, he was in the desert, and then he was in the wilderness. Basically, from a prince of Egypt, he became a pauper tending sheep in the Midian, and then later on to lead as one of the pilgrims together with Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And we know that Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. Recorded for us, Exodus 16:35, that the Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And next, 40 days of fasting by Moses and Jesus. Exodus 34:28-6, Moses was there at Mount Sinai with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So after the fasting of the 40 days, the Ten Commandments was written. And next it says here that after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, he was hungry, Matthew 4:2. And then next thing, the 12 spies, they spied the promised land for 40 days. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land, Numbers 13:25. And not reflected in the PowerPoint this morning is the passage taken from 1 Samuel 17. You remember, Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days. For 40 days, this Philistine asked the Israelites to challenge him. Every morning and every evening for 40 days, he challenged them. And then Jesus, appeared to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 records for us that after his suffering, he showed himself to this man and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The significant number 40. And this year, NLBC is celebrating the 40th anniversary. And this morning, I would like to bring to us, besides the Word of God, for those older New Lifers, I will want to walk you down memory lane. For those who are newer to New Life, take this as a history lesson, the history of New Life Baptist Church. I'm glad this morning you have seen the history of the local missions and also the foreign missions, but now I'll bring you down history or memory lane for older New Lifers and the newer ones, a history lesson of how the church has been blessed by God, our faithful God. Now, when we talk about the faithfulness of God's people, we must first answer the question, why is it that God's people are faithful? God's people are faithful, New Lifers are faithful, because we serve a faithful God. We cannot be faithful until unless we know that our God is faithful. And we thank God that we have a faithful God. Lamentations 3:22-23. The faithfulness of God. It says here, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The phrase here, great is thy faithfulness. Follow with me with the outline printed in the bulletin. The first thing we want to look into, the first B, is the birth of New Life Baptist Church. The birth of New Life Baptist Church. Now, we all know that the church was birthed in 1977 when a group of 9 people were sent out from Queenstown Baptist Church to start the New Life Gospel Center. And this was recorded by Russell Morris, one of the missionaries from IMB, in his book, The Singapore Baptist Family History. And this is what he said in the book. He said, on Easter Sunday, April the 10th, 1977, the New Life Gospel Center began with a full range of services. The first meeting was held upstairs over a stationery store at Block 107, Vapor Road, Hex 659. 1977. I tell you, this is just amazing. 1977, April. Exactly 40 years later, 2017, April, to the dot, we move into this place. Let's give God a clap offering. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. You know, this building, the TOP was done, was completed, was given to the landlord, also called the landlord, the anchor tenant here, Jurong Christian Church, last quarter of 2016. We were so happy in the building committee and said, wow, we're going to start our service on the 1st of January 2017, because 1st of January is a Sunday. And we were very excited. The leadership was very excited. Lo and behold, we know that this church, the anchor church, has a kindergarten, the nursery. And because the TOP was a bit late, came in the third quarter, they say, can your so-called shift back your renovation so that we can start our own renovation in time for the January so-called opening of the school? Well, we are gracious people. Reluctantly, the leadership say, okay, la. We didn't know that delay took us a couple of months, and then April, we move in. Now we know why God delayed the whole renovation process so that we can move in on the dot exactly 40 years. Now you may ask, but then 2017, you talk of 40 years, then this is 2019. Why are we celebrating the 40th anniversary? Pastor, your theology is okay, but I think your math is koya, no? No, 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 no. My theology is okay. My math is still okay. It says here, the Constitution. It says here, New Life Baptist Church was constituted with 45 charter members on December the 2nd, 1979. And therefore, 2019, we are celebrating the 40th anniversary. We started from the time the church was constituted. But when God called the church, it was in 1977. You got it? So this is a history lesson for all of us. Besides the birth of New Life Baptist Church, next one we want to look into the blessings of God. The blessings of God. Firstly, we look into the pilgrimage. The pilgrimage. You know, new lifers, we are very nomadic in a sense. We move from one place to another until we finally settle here. In 1977, it started off at Depot Road. Then it moved on to Great Joy Media Center in Lorong Mambong in Holland Village. Then it moved on to Ebenezer Chapel in Harding Road, which is no more today, but you still can go there. It's called the White Rabbit today, White Rabbit Restaurant. And then we moved out of our Ebenezer Chapel in 1998 because the government wanted back the piece of land. and we moved to Skywave Building, Skywave FIBA Building in Lorong Ampas in Balestier. We didn't stay there for long, only a year, and then we moved to West Mall Building, Jalan Pemimpin in 1999. We stayed there and worshipped there for 15 years until 2015. But of course, the church office was still there. And from 2015 to 2017, we so-called squat with our mother church, Queenstown Baptist Church. And then we transit into this new, wonderful and beautiful auditorium in April 2017. That's how we move as so-called pilgrims of God. Besides the pilgrimage, you want to look into the protection of God. You know, before this, we have occupied industrial buildings and things like this, but we do not have a proper or legalized worship premises. We did not. And we were quite contented, quite happy, quite satisfied to squat at West Mall. But God, with his unseen hands, he started to push us out. And it came in 2013. But prior to that, we have been looking for a church premises. And we sort of look into many, but thank God for New Life First. Even though we went through the roller coaster, right? You know, each time a new place was found and then built to the climax and then you're dropped to the ground again. But we persevered. And the crunch came in 2013 when many of these illegal worship premises that were housed in industrial buildings, the authorities came down hard on them. Some of these churches, they put in hundreds of thousands in their renovation. And next moment, they were asked to leave. And the leadership began to look into this seriously. Not so-called having a permanent place of worship yet. But by faith, we say we need to get out of West Mount before it is too late. And we asked to worship with our mother church, Queenstown Baptist Church. And the agreement that was in 2015, I think around July, and the agreement was given that we can squat there for 2 years. After they're going to kick butt, you know, if you don't move, they're going to kick your butt. We only got 2 years. And we didn't know where to go. And we were a bit worried that 2 years, even though seems like very long, but it can pass very fast. And we thank God. God protected us. In that, God provided this place, God's provision. At Taman Jurong. Now, this Taman Jurong, this so-called church hub, is a pilot project. The first in Singapore. And about 10 years ago, this church got the permission to build the church hub. And the government's condition is this, you must get another 2 churches to partner you, and then we will increase the plot ratio. You can build a bigger church, so that you can accommodate or to house many more congregations. To cut the long story short, we were not in the picture. The whole building before it was built, when the blueprint was out, it was already occupied by another church. I don't want to name the church, it was a Presbyterian church. But somehow, last minute, the Presbyterian church pulled out. And then when we got news, we were very happy. We started to liaise with the 10 anchor church, and then we start to look at the so-called how we can come in and so-called be part of the church hub project. Now, there were 2 units left on this level. This is a bigger unit, and then there's a smaller unit next to it. This bigger unit was already taken. We were asked to take the smaller unit. And then when we look at the unit, it's a bit small. Let's by faith pray that God will give to us a bigger unit. Lo and behold, the church that was supposed to occupy this bigger unit, either they, I can't really remember, either they withdrew or the anchor church is not very happy with them or whatever theological reasons or whatever, they decided to give up. And they asked us whether we want to take the bigger unit or not. And by faith, we took the bigger unit. And we thank God for His provision. Not only the blessings of God, not only the blessings of God, the birth of the New Life Baptist Church, but we have to look into the building of God. The building of God. In our Baptist denomination, according to the latest Baptist convention, so-called affiliated Baptist churches, there are about 39. But when it comes to church building, permanent church building or a legalized worship premises, Baptist denomination has not built a legalized worship church since the 70s. So there's a lapse of more than 40 years. A lapse of more than 40 years before New Life Baptist Church owns this place. It's just amazing. 40 years. And of all the 39 churches, only before us, 12 churches have permanent buildings, legalized worship until New Life Baptist Church. This is taken from the book, and this is some of the statistics that I have. Thompson Road Baptist Church, I go down the list. Cape Moore Calvary Cherif, and then you have Sembawang, Grace Baptist Church, Singapore Baptist Church, Leng Kwang Baptist Church, okay, and then you have Queenstown, Eternal Life International, Changi, and then New Life Baptist Church. Amazing. You just want to thank God. Not that we are proud. Not that we are so-called capable and we are so-called have the means and resources to secure the place. I believe this is all because of God's provision and because this is God's building, God wants to gift to us. And we thank God for this building. And when we have this building, because of God's faithfulness, therefore our response is this, that we need to be faithful people of God. Now, it is required, 1 Corinthians 4:2, that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Must prove faithful. The ball is in our court. We are to carry this awesome and heavy responsibility to continue to advance and to progress the work of God. It has been entrusted to us as a local church to be faithful. New Life has been very faithful. But I said earlier on, this celebration, not only about commemoration, but it's also the challenge. We must be reminded that the task of the Lord given to us has not been accomplished yet. And therefore, we need to continue to be faithful, continue to pursue the goals that the church has set out to do. This is a very mission-minded church. I think this morning, with our own eyes, we have witnessed with through the slides, the local missions and the foreign missions. I'm proud to say that at one point in time in New Life Baptist Church, in the mid-90s, in our total budget, about 23% of our annual budget is designated for local and foreign missions. And that's why we were able to support works overseas and works within the shores of Singapore. Let's continue to be that faithful church. And how can we then be faithful people of God? May I suggest to us, the four W's this morning. Firstly, the worship of God. The worship of God. Worship of God is very important. We need to go back to the basic. The basic of God, or the basic worship of God, is this, that God has designed worship to be honor and adoration directed to Him. The worship must be directed at God, not to anyone else. You know, John MacArthur, in his book Rediscovering Pastoral Ministry, has this to say, and we need to take note of this, that much that transpires in the church today under the name worship is unacceptable to God. God has designed, which I've said earlier on, worship to be an honor and adoration directed to Himself. It is the basis for His behavior and His ministry. The church needs to return to the basic essence of true worship and not be distracted by activities that are void of honor and adoration of God. Let's continue to worship God with due adoration and honor given to God. Secondly, the Word of God. I don't have to elaborate a lot because Baptists are known to be the people of the Word, and I'm glad that New Life is a church that embraces the Word of God very strongly and very seriously. There's so much for us to discover in the truth of God. We must not come to a point and say, I've known enough of the Word of God. We can never know enough of the Word of God. That all of us, in learning the Word of God, we should have a big L plate in front of us to know that we are always learners. There's so much truth that we can take out from God's Word. There's so many gems for us to mine. Let's be aware of that. Reverend Edmund Chan, in his book Growing Deep in Faith, quoted St. Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo, in a letter St. Augustine wrote to his son, and I want to quote to us this morning. This is what the Bishop of Hippo, St. Augustine, wrote to his son. And in this letter, he said about the Word of God, he says, such is the depth of the Christian scriptures that even if I were attempting to study them and nothing else from early childhood to decrepit old age with the utmost leisure, the most unwearied zeal, and talents greater than I have, I would still daily be making progress in discovering their treasures. So much depth in the Word of God that we need to daily dig deep into the Word of God. And we need also to have the attitude of the Bereans. This is what Paul, or the writer Luke, said of the Berean believers in Acts 17, 11. He says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They will go back and search the scriptures. I think all of us should embrace the Berean attitude. Not because someone stands here who's eloquent, who's convincing, good as they are, but we need to personally go back and search the scriptures. Now, if St. Augustine encourages the son to discover more of God's word, I would say the first part by St. Augustine is about discovery. And then the Berean attitude is about discerning. Discovering the truth of God, discerning the truth of God. These two must go hand in hand. Because everyone that stands on the pulpit or stands on this platform can preach the word of God, but ultimately, are they the word of God? You have to discern for yourself. And how can you discern? By praying, by studying the word of God. Do not take in lock, store, and barrel when someone is eloquent, someone can just preach the word, and we just take it for granted. This is what pastor says. Good, but is this what God says? I think that is more important. Let's new lifers, let's continue to be people that uphold the word of God. Besides the worship of God, the word of God, and thirdly, the walk with God. The walk with God. Colossians 1:10, he says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Basically, four things. To walk worthily in the Lord, to respect the Lord, or to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. But what I like about this verse here is by Eugene Peterson in The Message, because he paraphrases it in a very wonderful way where we can truly use it, understand it better, and do the work of God. This is what Eugene Peterson says. He says, we pray that you will live well. Okay? We pray that you will live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. I think this is the work with God. The more we know about God and how God works, then we can do the work of God as God desires. Not based on our own ambition, not based on our own understanding, not based on our own intelligence, not based on our own methods and avenues to do things. But at the end of the day, come before God on bended knees and look at how God works. God is always at work. Be sensitive to how God works so that we can, like Rick Warren always say, join God in his work. When we walk with God, we are doing the work of God together with God. And fourthly, it's the witness for God. The witness for God. You know, the Bible tells us that on one occasion, when Jesus was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And drop two verses down, the disciples, they asked Jesus, are you, Lord, at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And drop two verses down in verse 8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You then shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Now, you must be wondering, Jesus is talking about the redemption of sinners. But the disciples were thinking of the restoration of Israel. One is redemption, the other one is restoration. We cannot help, but we cannot help but understand why the disciples did not understand, even at that point in time, about the redemption of God's plan. Because the Jewish mind always had that liberation theology. When they were enslaved in Egypt, God sent Moses to deliver them. When they were in captivity in Babylon, in Persia, God delivered them. And in their mind, God was sent a deliverer. And in this case, it was under the Roman yoke. They were thinking that God was sent to them a political deliverer, not a Messiah. And therefore they asked, Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus did not answer the question. But Jesus says, not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when you receive the power, what you have to do? You have to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. It is about witness bearing. It is about evangelism. It is about sharing the gospel. And F.F. Bruce has this to say, and I want to quote him. He said, instead of the political power which had once been the object of their ambitions, a power far greater and nobler would be theirs. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, Jesus assured them they would be vested with heavenly power, that power by which in the event their mighty works were accomplished and their preaching made effective, this work would be a work of witness bearing. a theme which is prominent in the apostolic preaching throughout the book of Acts, and that we cannot deny. In closing, I'm sure you're glad to hear this. I want to be invited back. Fasten your seatbelt and we're going to fly, and then we'll have a photo taking, and then we can all adjourn for lunch. This is an encouragement to all new lifers that we will continue to be a faithful community. Wow. Two at one go. Good. That number one, NLBC will continue to proclaim or to continue to preach the message of Jesus Christ. I will not want to elaborate. We all know this. And secondly, God will continue to protect the Word of God. That New Life Baptist Church will continue to protect the Word of God. Let's continue to protect the pure and the unadulterated Word of God. Let's embrace this seriously and strongly. The last two, that NLBC will continue to progress as the Church of God. We must not sit on our laurels, rest on our laurels and say, that's enough. But God, that in our endeavor to expand the church, we must continue to progress. Continue to progress. Something I discovered this morning on the way here, my helper Sheila was telling me, because my wife, sometimes she clams up, right? So when I come here, I ask her to go back to my former office so that she can rest. He said, your office no more, sir. I said, what happened? You see, now they turn two into one to be a bigger room for prayer and all this. And I said, how about the other two pastors? Oh, now they have two in one. Two in one. Okay? If the church expands further, three in one. Senior pastor will also be there. Because we really run out of place. I think the leadership, at one point in time, they have this vision to want to acquire the next one, the smaller unit. Pray that God will give to us that resources, God will give to us the finance to purchase that. Not only progress as a church, but lastly, that NLBC will continue to preserve the unity of the church. Let's continue to unite. When we are not united, we cannot progress. And when we cannot progress, we cannot advance the kingdom of God. And when we cannot progress, advance the kingdom of God, people will be lost for eternity. And with that, I have to invite the worship team to come up to take their place. You know, Steve Green wrote a wonderful song entitled Find Us Faithful. When I text the worship leader and say I wanted this for my response, he said, oh, I've chosen the same song, Praise Be to God. The lyrics go like this. We are pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those have gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a spiritual testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those have gone before us. Let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That all who come behind us find us faithful. I think this is very important because in our bulletin, the theme for 2019 is this, a new generation arises. A new generation arises. This new generation is rising up because they see for themselves the faithfulness of the leaders. They know that serving God is important. And therefore, we need to serve faithfully, so that those who come behind us will find us faithful. And it goes on to say, may the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. And may all who come behind us find us faithful. A blessed 40th anniversary.